Welcome. Dharma Master Hsin Tao was ordained as a novice monk in 1973 at the age of 25 and entered Tsung Lin Buddhist College at the same time. Known for meditating up to 20 hours a day for an extended duration, Master Tao focused on the Global Family for Love and Peace in New York, United States in 2002. He also sits on the board of world religion leaders for the Elijah Interfaith Institute. Take a listen.
This is a Religica production.
R-E-L-I-G-I-C-A.
So you started, sounds like, Venerable, you started living like a monk, which is different from taking robes. And so did he sort of get more and more monastic and then took robes and then moved to the Tu Yi retreat? And what year would that have been also?
So like I said, you know, I was getting more and more time to do the practice and to have more spiritual awareness and doing the Dharma practicing. I was actually pretty good already in the attempt meditation at that moment. And so obviously, like I said, before I became a monk, I did all sorts of jobs, and that sometimes will influence my time of doing the practicing. So I went became the monk and tried to find back the level of my meditation, the practicing. And then so I actually went to study in a Buddhist university for 1 year. Then I decided I was deviating from what I wanted to do. So I decided to quit the university to find a place to do full-time practicing. After I left the university, I was trying to find a place that so that I can do my Dharma practicing. And fortunately, there was a friend of mine who was able to offer me some money and also offer me some food. And he also has a pretty good house. And there's a garden, and in the garden there's an old, maybe a small house back there. So he offered me that place. I thought it was a very, very nice place for me to do the practicing of the Dharma. Then after that, I decided that I should find a very quiet place to continue. Then I went to a cemetery place and to do my practicing. And I thought it was a very nice, ideal place, very quiet, very good for the Zen meditation. So after that, I went to find another place on the mountain, which is my current place, which is the Linjiu Mountain. And then I found a cave. Then I decided to get into the cave to do the retreat and to continue my practice.
And it sounds like he's speaking partly to the distinction between studying the Dharma in a scholastic way versus doing Dharma practice. I wonder if he could expand a little bit about that distinction and why the latter is important.
In the cave, after a period of time doing the Dharma practicing and meditation, Dharma Master decided to do the fast, you know, the fast for 2 years.
So looking at the book, I just got a chance to glance, but one thing I noticed was that Venerable has sources in Theravada and Mahayana and Dzogchen practice. Was that right out of the block? And was he doing that in this two-year retreat? Or you mentioned Zen. Was he doing Zen practice? And was there a teacher overseeing? Or was he mostly just basing it on texts? Or sort of two questions. What were the traditions he's practicing in? And what was the guidance in terms of a teacher or not?
Actually, Zen meditation or practice, there's a teacher teaching this. This is what we call Mahayana. This is like a great vehicle, Mahayana part of it. And before the retreat, Master already had a chance to get in touch with the Tibetan Buddhism. And during the retreat, he was able to learn more about the Tibetan Buddhism. Speaking of a Chan heritage or lineage, Dharma Master is the 45th generation of this lineage, starting from Linji School. Part of it, this is from Nima School. Dharma Master was being certified as a Rinpoche in this school, in this lineage.
One thing that's interesting about that, from just thinking of audiences, for practitioners in the West, especially, there's a lot of criticism, self-criticism, because, you know, we're all converts and there's all these different kinds of dharma around, and sometimes people worry they're muddying it together, but then sometimes people change traditions because their hearts tell them to do it, and trying to sort through all that. But it sounds like, you know, Rinpoche, you're in Asia and doing, and it feels a little similar, you know, different aspects of the dharma are working together in some way. So I wondered if he could talk a little bit about how to understand that, you know, how he understood tapping different aspects of the dharma, and it worked for in his path.
Actually, talking about three vehicles, Chan is the so-called Mahayana, but it's also ultimately will reach to the great, great ultimate perfection. And so is Tibetan, so is the Southern Buddhism, which is Zen. And they use different methodology to learn. The ultimate, the goal is also reaching the great perfection. So actually, the end is the same.
Yeah. And by great perfection, does he mean great perfection in the Dzogchen Chen sense, or great perfection as in Nibbana? Is that what he means?
Nirvana is like a end circle. We say it's a punctuation, it's like a period there. And Chen is try to find out where is that end period. Yeah, great perfection is not only find that period, that dot, but also to present that. Searching for the ultimate period and to present that outwards. So that becomes a great perfection.
And maybe it's a time to sort of turn toward how his teaching is manifesting in the world. You know, after retreat, then
yes.
Decided to start
yes.
doing something.
Yes.
And if maybe he could say a little bit, so a little bit about that decision. And if I don't want to ask him about, you know, what he experienced during retreat, but if there's something he wants to share that's okay, that's okay. But, you know, for listeners, it'll be helpful. But I'm not, you know what I mean? And, but what was the next step?
Okay, actually, to start with this part of it, actually, after we realize or aware the great perfection and have a clear clarity of all these things within, and actually the confusion, all the kind of vague has been cleared out, and try to find out a very clear situation, which is actually in Buddhism, it's reached to nothing, to emptiness, this kind of feeling. So then try to find out what will be the next. So that after a very, very, very harsh 10 meditation, originally, for instance, our heart, a lot of the part of heart is not soft. It's not soft enough. You have a lot of attachment, a lot of this and that, very, very, I would say, afflictions, this kind of thing. And then after the Chan meditation, your heart becomes very, very soft. You generate a loving heart, the compassion. Okay, after you reach so-called, if you want to use the word nirvana, and it, the other side of it with nirvana is that you start again compassion. And once you have this compassion, you can realize, you can aware that because beings are suffering, therefore you think you want to do something. Try to help them to leave the suffering and to gain some happiness here. Yeah, so Dharma Master, actually, after that, if you read this brochure, he started to plan to build a museum, which is an interface kind of museum, a lot of religions in there. And that's a way to spread the Dharma teachings and to make the connection among religions, to create a vibration into the maxima, which is what we call resonance of this vibration. And that is a way to spread the Dharma teaching. To put it a simple way, connecting three vehicles of the Dharma schools to connecting all the religions to next step is to try to build a university to expand based on this.
But the museum was the first step.
So, museum has the principles of respect, inclusion, love. So respect, obviously, respect in all different faiths, different religions. Inclusion is to include all the diversified beings and cultures, etc., to accept all of this. And love is to love all the lives of all beings.
Yeah.
And which the love which is relating to the ecosystem, the ecological ethics, they are all related. That is interdependence, coexistence, and also share the life in a very diversified way and mutual help to each other.
That's interesting. It's interesting that, if I understand this right, and correct me, that the museum sort of came first, because a lot of people would start a monastery or a teaching center, but it's first museum and then teaching, or then monastery? Is that?
The sequence for Dharma Master is that he was planning to have the museum first, and indeed, he had his museum, and then he built out a monastery. Hmm. Yeah, and then next will be university.
And what about in environmental work or aspects? I think that's mentioned in here.
Speaking of the environmental issues, which is ecological issues, and the to do a practical way is to master says to build a university, which is offering the ecological education, and to find the problems on the earth, to offer the solutions, how to solve this crisis on this earth, because this is urgent time now. Therefore, that it's required to build a university to actually practically to do something.
So that hasn't, that's a vision to happen, but hasn't happened yet.
Actually, the preparation has been ongoing, and actually this is in progress already. The planning will be finished in this month very soon. And then the think tank and all those designing of curriculums are also about to be finished for the preliminary stage, so that everything is ongoing, is in progress.
Could the Venerable say a little bit about, you know, how many monastics are there, and what, you know, what, I think there's an upper and lower monastery,
mm-hmm.
and also what kinds of training is there for lay people?
Okay, actually, Dharma Master is offering so-called four stage of education for the lay person, for the lay people, for the education. The first stage is so-called the beginner, which is using one of the Ahan Sutra as the foundation for this. And so people will learn this so-called the principle of the Buddha's teaching, laying down the foundation. Second phase is the Tam meditation, Tam the practicing, which is prajna, which is the second phase. Then third phase is the Lotus Flower Sutra, which is cultivating the Bodhi heart. Yeah, which is to practice how you can walk on the Bodhisattva path and to cultivate the compassion heart. The last stage is the Avatamsaka Sutra. Based on that purpose is to cultivate a person to become, to aware the diversified coexistence and interdependence kind of a life. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And is there...
So that's four stages.
That's four stages. And is there, you know, facilities for retreat?
Okay, four stages, as we mentioned, there are four ways of Chan meditation based on those four stages we just mentioned. The Ahan, the Prajna, the Lotus Flower, the Avatamsaka, and in addition, we have four international Chan centers located in Myanmar, Nepal, Vancouver, and Colorado.
As I've sort of been paying attention to a parallel, maybe, between people in the West practicing the Dharma in Asia, is there anything you can say about, you know, is there a difference? How does it seem? How are the people in the West and people in Asia doing as in terms of Dharma practice and the depth the recognition?
Well, of course, if you want to say there are some differences, it must be due to the culture differences. But if you can realize that, you can actually mitigate the differences. People can come to listen to what Dharma Master is teaching, then you know there's not much difference.
You have been listening to Religica. Visit us at www.religica.org.